The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. I think I'm going to start changing it up. I think I'm going to change up what I say right after you say
your intro. What are you
going to do? I don't know. It just occurred to me that I think...
Come on. Surprise me. Do it.
Some greetings, salutations. I'll just change it up.
Okay. I'm picking it up. I'm on board.
Because you're always going to say the same thing, but you say it in different ways. You change it up in different ways.
I try.
This one was particularly enthusiastic, I feel like.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Because, you know, before we started recording, I was feeling very low energy. Like, I started off the day, like, pumped. And then, like, you know, there's shit that happens that you're just like, what?
Kind of takes the wind out of your sails.
Yeah. Why are you stealing my, you know, thunder, man? But then I was like, oh, I get to record. So... there you go.
Oh, you get to get it back. Get your groove back.
Hi, Michelle got a groove back. Hey, guess what I'm holding in my little hands right now?
I don't know because I can't see you because usually I can. But since I can't today, I feel like you sometimes check on me when you can't see me.
Yeah, you can't. I can't
see you. You're like, are you ready? Are you sure you're ready?
Let me see you. Let me look at your eyes.
You need to know I'm not looking at my phone and I'm not like picking my nose or reading a book. Yes, I'm ready.
Scratching your butt.
What are you holding? Some new microphone?
I am holding a thank you card. One of your favorite things.
Oh, did I send it to you?
No. You know what? Have you ever sent me a thank you card? I don't think you have.
Well, you've never given me a gift. I'm sure I sent you a thank you card at some point. Thank you for being in my life card.
You sent me when I moved away, when we moved to Boston, you sent me a gift card for a massage at a hotel in San Francisco in Japantown. Is it the Kabuki? What hotel? Kabuki? Mm-hmm. What hotel is that?
Maybe.
And I still have it.
Oh, well, see, BT that's why dubs. I'm not going to ever give you any gifts again.
Well, I treasure it. It's in my side table next
you
to
you treasure
my
the gift card you haven't used?
It
makes no sense. You're somebody that throws everything away, but you're keeping a 5-year-old gift card.
I know. Well, it's valuable.
Maybe. It's probably expired.
I know. I wonder if it expired. Anyway, I'm holding, you guys, a thank you card. And it just reminded me, although I hate to write them, and I seriously am so bad about it. That's a really bad wedding planner. I admit it. Nevertheless, it feels really nice to get one. And I got a thank you card from my clients, from Sabrina and Greg. Sabrina, if you're still listening, she's a listener of the podcast. And that's how she found me. And their wedding was epic. It was so great. And I just love the thank you card. And I just love the tie. And it's really nice to receive. And they're so cute, their photo on the front. That wedding was really awesome. So thank you, Sabrina and Greg, for this thank you card. And any other clients that send me thank you cards. It's really nice.
Yes, it is nice. So
it's really nice. I need to write all mine at like one. I have to like wait till wedding season is over. And then I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to write thank you cards. All right. Anyway. Sorry, I had to tell you because I know you like thank you cards.
Mm-hmm. That's a good goal also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, what was I going to say? Oh, nothing. I don't have anything today. I could just bitch about how
pretend.
Hot it is.
You've got nothing.
I feel like I've opened every single... like Arizona is killing me. I don't know how much more I can take. This is my SOS. If you're listening, check on me. It's so hot.
Get out of there.
Okay, so... any housekeeping or just the usual?
I mean,
hitch
the
switch.
Yeah, just hitch switch, peeps. You know, our thing with hitch switch. Go if you're changing your name. It's going to be really easy for you.
It's a big decision, and they help with all the paperwork. So just use promo code BIGWEDDING, all one word, BIGWEDDING, when you check out, and you'll get a discount, and we'll get some love, and it's a win-win-win. Okay? Great.
Okay.
So that's it, then. We can intro our guest. We have a guest waiting somewhere in an office.
This is a good one.
I will read her blurb, and if you read anything about today's podcast, you know that the topic is registry with a purpose. And we're really excited because we have heard from listeners, and we've talked about this before with millennials getting married and people doing things a little bit differently, people who've been together for a really long time, and then they decide to get married, and you've already lived together, so you have everything you need, and you're not sure what to register for, mm-hmm. but you have some, you know, some people that are asking you, where are you registered? We want to get you a gift. And, you know,
or some people just feel weird registering, you know, like I've had my clients be like, I just don't, like, I just feel weird doing this. I don't need anybody to, I don't want people to buy me gifts. Like, this is weird.
Times have changed. And another part of this is destination weddings and how so many weddings are in one way or another a destination, whether it's you yourself flying out there or most of your guests having to fly in somewhere. So the idea of an actual item, a tangible gift, is not something that is as popular, I think it's safe to say, as it was, 10 years ago, or when our parents were getting married, when it was just expected that you were going to register for your china and linens and all of that as you embark on your new life together. So that's what this episode is about. And we're really excited to have Beth Helmstetter with us of Beth Helmstetter Events and The Good Beginning. So look those up while I'm telling you about Beth.
As long as it's safe to do so.
Here we go. Do not drive and look up Beth Helmstetter Events. Pull over.
That's a negative.
Beth Helmstetter Events is a full-service event design and production studio specializing in multi-day weddings and celebrations throughout the world. Beth's discerning clients have hosted friends and family in some of the most beautiful places, including Italy, Paris, Bali, the Philippines, Costa Rica, Mexico, Korea, and all over the United States. With over 15 years plus of experience, Beth Helmstetter and her team are sought after for creating memorable multi-day events that are filled with meaning. Beth Helmstetter Events has been graciously named as one of the best planners in the world by Harper's Bazaar, Martha Stewart Weddings, Brides, and Travel Leisure. In addition to being the CEO and creative director of Beth Helmstetter Events, Beth is the founder of The Good Beginning, a social enterprise and wedding registry service that connects couples with the opportunity to donate to charitable causes in lieu of or in addition to traditional wedding gifts. Beth and The Good Beginning had been featured in Forbes, Huffington Post, Entrepreneur Magazine, Vogue, and more. Welcome to the podcast, Beth Helmstetter.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you for being with us, Beth. That's quite impressive, lady. Dang.
Oh. It reads more impressive on paper. It doesn't always feel that way on this end.
You're like, am I that interesting? Wow.
No, I'm not.
It's bizarre.
But when you do some things, you're like, oh, someone's paying attention to what you do. It's nice, but you don't really expect it very often, I don't think. But yeah.
Well, it's a testament to what you do. So good on you, lady. Good on you.
So we usually ask guests about their origins story. And in your case, you have your event planning company and The Good Beginning separately. But we want to hear a little bit about both the history of how you got into this business and your niche. When I heard you speak at a conference, I got the impression, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, please, but that destination weddings and these like far away, elaborate, amazing events were sort of your niche.
Yeah, that's typically what we're brought on to help create, is kind of these multi-day experiences and celebrations and in pretty remote places, I think, for our clients. The more remote, the better. So Yeah, that would be my niche, I guess.
Well, that's not too shabby in terms of you getting to travel all over the world.
Yeah, I get to. I mean, I'm usually working most of the time, but it's you know, better than working in the middle of nowhere, or somewhere you wouldn't want to be. At least we have a beautiful view as we're working typically. So, yeah.
When you say we, Beth, how many are on your team? Like, how many people are you working with to create these destination weddings for your clients?
I have 4 full-time associates, and then I have 2 part-time associates that support us administratively as well as with the Good Beginning.
Wow. So you've got people helping you research and do the project management portion of things and... Oh, what a dream.
Yeah, they do a lot. They do a lot of the legwork at this point. I'm really lucky to just kind of be the face forward with my clients and be as present with them as possible, do a lot of the design and creative direction. And yeah, someone's researching, booking the room blocks, all of that sort of thing. So I'm lucky. Yes.
So your event company is a little over 15 years old. When did the Good Beginning come into focus?
Yeah, the Good Beginning started in 2016. So we're the very beginning of 2016. So we're almost, what is that? Yeah, this is our 3rd year. So,
yeah, 3.5 years. You're at more than 3.5 years now.
All of 2016, all of 2017. Yeah, you're right. 3.5 years. Sorry. Yeah, started the beginning of 2016.
What was, you know, the story? Like, why did you start it? Like, what was the kind of like light bulb that went off that you were like, okay, we need to do this?
Yeah, I think it was multiple things. One of it was just a personal draw. I actually started in the nonprofit world before I got into the wedding industry. And it was incredibly nonprofit, including for myself. So I had to find another way to make money, which is I just subsequently fell into weddings. But I kind of always had this interest in the world of generosity and giving back and just being a responsible global citizen, if you will. And then fast forward as I'm doing these beautiful weddings that we're so lucky to do. Often, as I mentioned, we're in remote locations. So we might be in Bali or the Philippines, and we might essentially be in third world countries. And those are the vendors we're working with. We're sheltered because we're often at beautiful villas or resorts where, you know, maybe the client isn't even aware of what's happening on the outside of the spaces where they're visiting. But the truth is they were really, really remote, often very impoverished. And it was just a personal disconnect, if you will, for me. Not in a judgy way, just a pull where I'm like, oh, we're here planning a $500,000 event and our vendors are getting paid $3 a day and they, you know, don't know if they're going to get to eat today or if they can put their kids in school. And so there was just this draw for me where I wanted something in my personal life that I felt like I was making an impact on that level, if that makes any sense. And simultaneously, I would get clients. Most of our clients are high net worth individuals. They don't need a toaster or espresso machine or anything like that. And they would come to me and they would want the option of giving back. It was their idea originally. And often when we would contact different organizations, they're set up to take any kind of donation, of course, but they're not as streamlined in that, you know, you might make a donation on your friend's behalf, but they might not have it organized enough. You may never, as a bride, never ever get a list of those guests who'd actually donated. So the only way you would actually know is if the guest tells you, and you might not have access to how much they gave. And it was a complicated process for thanking guests or knowing what kind of impact you made as a couple. And so I think I just started kind of putting together my personal experiences with some of the requests we were getting from couples. And I was just like, I think this could work. It was happening enough. And truth, you know, to be fully honest, we didn't do a ton of research. I was like, I'm going to try this and see how it goes. And it's been quite successful. I mean, the first year was pretty slow. I think we brought in 17,000 in donations. But last year, we raised close to 400,000. And I think this year we'll go over $500,000
Whoa.
At the end of the year. So it's grown really quickly. It just took that first year to, you know, get traction and for people to know about it. But yeah, so it's just something that I wanted to do to do something good in the world myself that happen to have a demand as well.
So it was a simultaneously, or I guess like in the course of the project, it can meet two needs for you. It met your own need, like I'm traveling or I'm privileged to see these places of the world and to work with people that have a lot of disposable income, but then I'm seeing where there's a need for help and I want to tie my professional life into that, but then also meeting the need for clients who want to use this way of giving their guests an opportunity in lieu of a registry. So like a two-part platform almost.
And exactly. And it's funny, I thought in the beginning it would be in lieu of a registry, but honestly, most of our couples register in multiple places and we just happen to be one of their registries they add on, which was a really interesting discovery. So very often our couples will still register at Target and Bloomingdale's and then we'll be their third, you know, kind of their specialty registry on there. So I honestly don't dig around enough to know what they're registering in those other at those other stores or anything like that. But we do, you know, it can be in lieu of, and we have plenty of couples that do that, but also people who just want to do a little bit of both.
What does the Good Beginning team look like? Not just administratively, but how you get the word out and who's connected to publicity, all that stuff.
Yeah, we use Natalie from In Good Company PR. She has been a miracle worker. I remember when we started The Good Beginning, I just gave her a list of publications because I said, I don't think I'm going to have a hard time getting the wedding industry to trust this. But what I do think I'll have a hard time with is getting the guests to trust this. So, you know, a couple might sign up because they can do research and they know we're established and all of that. But the random uncle who has nothing to do with the wedding industry or no connections are like, who are we sending money to and what is this? And so I just gave her a list. I'm like Forbes, New York Times, Huffington Post, anything that validates us in a different level of the world. Of course, we are of media. Of course, we obviously wanted to hit the wedding outlets as well, but I wanted to have validation for our guests. So when they're making donations, they knew we were a legitimized company. And she's just been a miracle worker, like so quick to get us publicity, and she still works very hard for us. Yeah.
That's such a good point that it needed to be felt like accessible and safe and legit to somebody who has nothing to do with weddings, doesn't look at pretty Instagram feeds all day long, and, you know, got some invitation or looked at a wedding website and this is what it said, this is where we're registered, for them to look into it, dig into it a little bit more and see that it's not some like fluffy, you know, like idea that's not going to be around in a year. It's like a real thing.
Right. And it's especially for, I'm going to say, the generation above 50 and above, because the younger generation kind of get it. And I feel like they see enough of this, but, you know, depending on how old the guest is, this is just not something they would do. And they sometimes do still donate, but we get a lot of calls and we field a lot of calls from people of that age range. And they're just like, I don't understand what this is. And why are they doing this? Why can't I just buy them towels or whatever the case may be? And so I think it's an easier pitch to, I'm going to say, people 40 and under, but anyone above that, this is a newish thing for them. So it's a little bit of a harder sell overall.
So walk us through, as if we are that have never heard of this, walk us through how it actually works. When you go to the web, or there's a link or a website, how would I as a guest do this?
Oh, okay. So what first needs to happen is a couple would sign up for the registry, and it's very similar to any wedding registry out there. So they can go on our site, they can choose causes or organizations that we've already identified, or they can actually submit organizations that are near and dear to them. We do a little bit of research on the back end to make sure they're legitimate, and then we can upload them accordingly and they can register for donations to those causes.
Oh, that's cool. So you're not just like limited to who you have on the site. If there's somebody, some
cause.
A special cause that they want to donate to. They can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't just have to go to Planned Parenthood or ACLU, even though a huge amount of funds and our couples choose to go to those organizations. But it can also be maybe that organization you volunteered at in college that was, you know, a very small local dog shelter. So as long as they're a legal 501c3, we can connect with them and support them that way. And so the couples typically choose 1 to 3 organizations. Some choose more, but we really don't recommend more than 3 because it just doesn't make as huge of an impact. When you're spreading it out to 5 and 8 organizations, we're sending sometimes like $80 to this one, $200 to this one. Whereas if we're doing 1 to 3, you know, you're making $4,000 and $5,000 and $6,000 donations and sometimes even more. But all that to say, the mm-hmm. couples get a link and a badge that they could put on their wedding website. Or print in their invitation, whichever they see fit. And guests, every couple probably does this different. I imagine they print it in their invitation, they put it on their wedding website of how they communicate to the guests, their registry, and then guests can click on that link or go to our website and search by couple, go to the registry, and then just choose of the narrowed down organizations the couple have chosen, the guests can choose which one they want to support from there.
Can I kind of zoom in on what you just said on how you recommend the couple get the word out there for this type of service? Because we've had questions about that, right, Christy? Like, should I put obviously, number one is the wedding website. You should always put it up on the wedding website. A lot of people will put it in their invitations, right, Beth?
Yeah, a lot of people do. And that's, you know, I think Emily Post etiquette, that's a no-no. And honestly, yeah. The couples we work with, we traditionally don't print registry informations in an invitation. But I do know a lot of our couples at the good beginning do. They'll ask us for an abbreviated link and things like that that they can print. And I think it just depends on where you are on the spectrum of how, you know, how close you need to be to proper etiquette and traditional. Exactly. So. But the wedding website is always a great place, and it links straight to the registry on the good beginning. And I think it just is a more streamlined process altogether.
I just wanted to throw in, and since starting this podcast, because I have about 3 books that I've had for years and years and years and years, Emily Post and Peggy Post and all the etiquette books, right? And the traditions. And since we've started this podcast, yeah. which has been almost 3 years now, we're just talking to so many couples that are literally throwing that etiquette and tradition out the door in so many instances. And it's interesting the ones they pick and choose to keep it with. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting whenever I talk to another wedding professional and get their take or what their clients are doing or in their geographic yeah. area or who their clients are. It depends on, you know, how much they pay attention to that tradition or customs, right? Or in the wedding, culture.
I think weddings, you know, rightly so, have really evolved into being a personal reflection of the couple. And if a tradition means nothing to you, then why would you incorporate it into your wedding, right? So it's like, if that doesn't apply to you, if it doesn't matter, and you know, our guests aren't going to be insulted if we tell them where we're registering. In fact, we're going to save them a step. Then that, you know, that you should do whatever feels right for you.
And do you ever have, or do your clients ever opt for putting some sort of signage or some little note at the table or somewhere in the wedding on the wedding day itself saying, you know, letting the guests know that we have donated on your behalf or something, anything to that effect?
For our clients with Beth Homesteader Events?
Well, oh yeah, I guess that's true. These are not all your clients that are using the Good Beginning.
Yeah,
the
Good Beginning are rarely my clients. Some of my clients do use it. Oddly, many of my clients choose to work with me because we have the Good Beginning, but then don't use the Good Beginning. But they love that we're, you know, trying to make a little bit of an impact in the world. And so, yeah, it's a nice thing that our clients connect with it, but not every one of our clients use it, that's for sure. My clients don't usually do the card at the table, and I don't know if the Good Beginning clients do. I think it's a little bit different though, because I think in the instance where you're using that card, the couple themselves made the donation.
Favors.
On the clients, on the guests we have. And in this situation, they're kind of asking mm-hmm. their guests to come together and collectively help them kind of make an impact to something that means something to them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If they're using the Good Beginning, this is a registry. Clearly, the guest knows how much they've donated and what they donated to.
It would be cool. I wonder if it's ever been like said in a toast, you know, when sometimes the couple thanks everybody, you know, before they cut the cake or something. Like, I wonder, since your platform has a way to track these, which is, you said, yep, part of what the idea was from the beginning, that you can see how much was spent and you can see how much you raised. Yes. I bet people have said, like, you know, in there, like, thank you so much for coming. This is the best day ever. We're so blessed. We love you guys so much. And you helped, you know, you came together and raised whatever, not maybe a dollar amount, but they could say like the support that you threw to this charity that's really important to us, or the way that you helped this one community that mattered to us. That was really awesome. And thank you. I can imagine that.
Yeah.
If it's not like displayed somewhere at the wedding, it's at least mentioned.
Yeah, potentially is. I don't have enough information on that to know, but yeah, I'm sure that they do brag about it. I mean, a lot of the couples come back to us and we talk through how much they raised and the impact that they made. And I know some of them have communicated to the guests after the fact, and I'm sure they do it on the wedding day as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, geez, you know, I'm just thinking about one of my clients specifically who battled breast cancer not too long ago, or other people who maybe have had family members, you know, battle certain.
In the midst of wedding planning, even.
Yeah. And decide to choose some sort of cancer research or foundation in lieu of a registry. Now, let me ask you this, Beth. Can the couple, or have you seen this happen? Let's say they have their guests, you know, do this as instead of a gift registry. Can the couple go in then later and make their own donation or match anything? Do you ever see that happen?
We do. And we also, you know, there's some service fees that obviously come from using credit cards and things like that. So we have couples that will match donations, or, you know, we want to cover any kind of service fees. So 100% of the donations are going to the organization, and they're not paying any credit card fees and all of that good stuff. So yeah, we absolutely have couples that do that.
Awesome.
I went to a great wedding that was in New Orleans over, like, it was several days. And I think I mentioned this, Michelle, how the groom had a foundation that was really important to him because he spends a lot of time in New Orleans. And like, you know how you have certain cities that you don't live in them, but you just have the best association with, and you visit them often and have great memories. And that was New Orleans for him and for this couple. And he had for years been helping this foundation for like stray dogs in New Orleans and dogs without homes in New Orleans. And there's a bar there where all the proceeds on certain days of the week, or some kind of thing that they have worked out, like the owner of the bar also owns this foundation or something, that we went to this bar with this groom, and he, you know, showed us the menu, which has like pictures of dogs on it that your money helps. And it was really important to him. And I thought, for destination mm-hmm. weddings where you're actually in a community that is not yours, that even has a little bit more meaning for the wedding day. Do you find that some of the foundations or charities that you're connecting people with are because they're local to the actual location of the wedding?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of the couples, you know, whether they're, you know, wherever they're getting married, if they're getting married in Mexico, they want to find an organization there that can, you know, help with healthcare and things of that nature. So it definitely happens. We notice that a lot. We notice it with our personal couples too. Like, if we're doing a destination wedding, they love to give a welcome bag that was made locally that, you know, covers health insurance for 6 months for a local family, and tell their guests about it. So it's all the same concept. And it's just kind of about, again, that personal, the wedding day reflecting who you are as a person. And often we think about that as like aesthetically and hospitality, but I think this is kind of just a next level of showing people who you are at your core. These are the things that are important to us as a couple. This is, you know, this is who we want to be in the world, and not just on this one day as with a celebration. So absolutely, we see that all the time.
I was curious about when you said that Planned Parenthood and the ACLU are, you know, two of the popular foundations, I guess we can call them, that you're connecting, that your couples are connecting to with the Good Beginning. Do you offhand know, like, what are some of the smaller or off the grid, or maybe more like stray dogs in New Orleans? That is very specific.
Oh, shoot.
You know, because it's not something I would donate to, but because he asked, we did. And so it was an interesting, like, oh, it is truly a gift to our friend, because I would spend $200 somewhere else if it was up to me.
Absolutely. Oh goodness. I wish I would have prepared.
I'm sorry. I just like, we definitely typed it have. In myself.
No, it's okay. When I started this, I had all this vision of the organizations that we would help. And I remember one day we were cutting a check for like $8,000 to a very small cat shelter out of San Diego. And I was just like, huh, this is not what I thought we were starting this for. But it's really interesting that the things that pull people, and it, you know, it wasn't ASPCA, it was like this local small organization where I'm sure that money went a very long way mm-hmm. for that organization, because she was like one lady in San Diego fostering cats and doing her thing. But I apologize, I can't think of any of the smaller organization names, but that does happen. Absolutely.
That was what I was wondering, because it is like sometimes with things like charity or philanthropy or just asking people to give. And I find this even with like the PTA that I'm involved in, when we put an ask out, like, oh, we found out there's a family in need, you know, at the school, we need sneakers and I don't know, something that you think like, oh, I'm just throwing it out. And then they come in droves, because all you needed to do was give the community an opportunity, like open the door to help. And they will. But if you hadn't asked, you wouldn't have gotten it, because no one knew that there was that random cat shelter in San Diego that this could, you know, it might not be where exactly. You or I would spend our charitable dollars, but it is making a positive impact in the world. And it was important to the couple, which is why I think the Good Beginning platform is so cool, because couples can share with their guests, who are their like VIPs in life, another part of their values.
Yeah, I agree. I think that most people do want to give back in certain ways. I think giving to charity can be iffy for some people. Not everyone is on board with specifically giving their dollars to charity, but exactly what you said, if you put the opportunity out for people to give tangible items or what have you, I think most people are pretty excited and want to help if they can. So, yeah.
What have you heard from couples that work with The Good Beginning after the fact? Do you have, I mean, anecdotes or testimonials even about maybe how they went into it and then what they ended up getting out of it? Or just, I guess, what have you been hearing back since it's been for 3.5 years now?
Yeah, I think the couples that use it are just really excited that something like this exists. And even when they sign up, we usually get some sort of letter from them that they were like, we've been looking for something like this. We really wanted to give back to charity, and we weren't able to in the way we'd hoped to, and this allows us to do so. And after the fact, it's usually similar. Like, we're really thankful that we have this outlet, and it was nice and streamlined and organized and easy for our guests and easy for us. I don't have any you know, it's really from the industry, we've gotten a lot of praise, and other planners and things like that refer a lot of their clients, and they're quite excited it exists as well. But you know, other than dollar amounts, like every now and then we'll have a couple that raises like $40,000 and we're just like, oh my gosh, we had no idea this was a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
You guys like ring a bell in the office.
Yeah. We're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, for whatever reason, they're connected to the type of people that get, you know, giving charitable funds is part of who they are as a culture and as a social circle. And so some of those numbers come in really, really high. And we're always really thankful when that happens.
Yeah. I was thinking from an insight, like being in the industry and a wedding planner in a room full of industry professionals, when I first heard you speak, which was actually right when you were right about to roll it out, or it was still like in beta, The Good Beginning. I mean, or you were talking to us about how you feel a pull to do something more and you weren't exactly sure what shape it would take.
Yeah.
Do you remember that presentation?
Yeah, I remember. Curious if other people felt that way. And they do. We all do on different levels, I think.
Yeah. And I think it, from like us all talking, you know, we had breakout sessions at that conference and stuff, and talking to other people, in the industry, we feel sometimes like what we're doing, I know this is really weird, but I sometimes feel like, okay, if it's like totally dystopian and it's the end of days, I'm worth nothing to anybody because all I do is plan events. Like, what do I actually do? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not like a farmer or I don't do anything. I'm not necessary. You know, you too think of the end of the world, right? Yeah. Everybody listening?
I don't think that's true. I really do think we give, and we say this a lot, it sounds trite, but we really give families a lifelong memory. I mean, I have people that text me 10 years after they got married and they're like, we still think of you and our wedding day was amazing. And as that kind of evolves, you're just like, oh, I'm really giving someone something that they will remember and hang on to for the whole life. It's not as altruistic, I guess, as health insurance and feeding the children and things like that. But I think we make an impact in our own little way, for sure. But I think it was just that disconnect of seeing such an extreme amount of wealth in impoverished places that I was just like, this doesn't feel right to me. Not that it wasn't right. I mean, everyone has the right to spend their money the way that they want, but there was a something where I'm like, I want to do a little bit something more to help with this if I can. And even though it didn't involve into that specifically, I just knew that I needed to be doing something on that level too.
Yes. And I think that's the parallel I was making, is that we sometimes feel that from the industry, like inside, like, not even when I'm not feeling the apocalypse nearing, but even when I am just thinking like, this is a beautiful day, we bring all of this stuff in and then we tear it all down. And yes, it's amazing memories. It's just, but it is one day in most of my, my cases. Mm-hmm. And so from the industry, it would, you know, everybody was like, this is a great idea. What Beth is onto, we would love to point our clients in this direction. Yeah. But the flip side that I was thinking was that couples too, wedding planning can feel like a very self-involved time of your life. And we get feedback from listeners all the time. And they're like, I love this podcast because it saves me from just like boring my friends or my office mates by talking about my wedding 24/7 because it's on my mind all the time. But it feels like you're planning a party to celebrate you, which we are all for. Marriage is a big deal. But it can be very self, just like, it's all about me. And then people get a little lost in that. So I think from a couple getting married from that standpoint too, a platform like this gives you the opportunity to get excited about a different perspective as you plan your wedding.
Yeah.
And that feels like a gift.
Yeah, I think any time we can bring a little bit of balance into our world of moments of self-absorption and things like that, is it can be a really good thing. And I mean, everyone looks at this differently, but I think there is something really beautiful about starting this new life together with this act of generosity and saying like, yeah, this is who we want to show up as a couple. And this is a practice we want to build into not only our wedding day, but maybe our marriage. And when we have children, we want to raise children in the spirit of generosity and things like that. And so I think it's a bigger picture thing as well, that still very much relates to who the couple is and who they want to be. But maybe it's a little bit more balanced approach than talking about shades of pink all day. And is this the right paper for our invitation and all of that good stuff?
Yeah. Right. And all the money, I mean, the bottom line every day is another, oh, we're going to add a little bit of this and this is going to cost more money. And it can just feel like you're hemorrhaging money sometimes. So to bring it back into something that honors your values a little bit, I think is, would be something that some people definitely crave. And for those of you listening that listened to our recent episode about activism and values and weddings, like, is your wedding a good time or an appropriate time to, you know, make a statement? This, we talked about favors and registries being one of those statements that can be a little bit gentler and not as in your face. But if you say like, we're supporting Planned Parenthood, then that does say something about where you stand and what your beliefs are and as you're starting your life together. So
yeah, I think that like Katrina Micah in our activism episode said, like, look at your wedding among other ways, but look at your wedding as the perfect platform to make an impact this time, at this time of your life. Yes, it's all about you, but you have a captive audience in your guest list, and you can make a substantial impact on any one of these charities. Yeah. And they love you, and they'll do this for you. Like, they can either buy you, you know, a KitchenAid, which is really fantastic. Or, you know, they can take that money and put it toward this charity that is so important to you. And look at this, you are making a huge impact. I think most of us, a lot of us are always thinking like, how can I do something? What can I do? I don't always have that money that I can just, you know, donate this much to. And, you know, there's all sorts of ways to make an impact, but wow. You know what I mean? Like, what an easy and wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. And that's exactly true. It's, you know, when we look at our most popular charities, it's pretty much a direct reflection of what's going on in the world. So to just kind of speak to that activism, it's a very subtle form of activism that the Good Beginnings become for a lot of our couples. And that's not really what I thought it would evolve into either. But, you know, if we see legislation being passed somewhere that's, you know, no opinions, no judgments, but if it's anti-abortion, like the donations and the registries for Planned Parenthood skyrocket. Or if there's something mm-hmm. else happening.
Yeah, the stuff on the border, you know, that everyone's asking
on the
how
border,
to help.
ACLU gets, you know, all of a sudden all of our couples want to switch to ACLU as the charity they want to support. So it is really one of those things where we can kind of, a hurricane happens, tons of funds are, we see a big influx for the Red Cross. So it is something that's kind of reflective of what's happening in our world. And I can't, you know, we don't interview these couples. We don't know what they're thinking, what they're supporting, what they don't support, but we do see some parallels there. And so it is, it's a lot, like you said, it's gentle. It's a subtle way to support and do something that combats actions in the world that you may or may not support.
Well, I love that. I love all of this. We both do. This is a very good alignment with what we talk on the podcast, what we talk about a lot. So we are so happy that you joined us today. Thank you. And let everyone know right now where they can find you. And we will share all the links on our show notes as always.
Sure. Obviously, BethHelmstetter.com is our events website. I'm on Instagram at BethHelmstetter. Good Beginning is just thegoodbeginning.com. And we're on all the things, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and it's the handle is at TheGoodBeginning.
And on thegoodbeginning.com, you can see how the program would work. How you would walk through it.
Absolutely. On that page, you'll find a place where you can actually register. You can submit charities that you may or may just want exposure to, or you may want to register for. And then we also do have a blog on there called The Daily Give, where we give tips to creating kind of a more socially conscious lifestyle, whether it be within your wedding, as a newlywed, interior design, those sorts of things as well. So it's a little bit of everything there.
Yes, we were looking at that earlier. Michelle saw one about a carbon footprint and wedding planning. So we will probably link to that or want to dig into that a little bit.
Yes.
Future episode.
Yeah, it's hard future because episode. Like obviously, you know, the Good Beginning, that's what we'd love to educate people on that. But with our couples, obviously we're, you know, it's a celebration and they want it to be done right and all of that. So it's just a hard balance to strike. But the information is there for the couples who are interested for sure.
Thank you again so much. We will include all of the links and tags on our social media about this episode. Registry with a Purpose. Thank you, Beth, for joining us. And Michelle will read our outro now.
I'm so excited. Okay. All right. So you can reach us by one of many ways. First of all, you should be following us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. That's where we put out not only some awesome content, but, you know, special info. You know, and then we have a Facebook page, of course, and we have a Facebook group community, which if you are not a part of it, you guys, get your ass over there. I mean, there are so many of you on it right now. And Christy and I jump on there when we can and answer questions. But you all are feeding each other so much fun, wonderful, useful information and support. Our Facebook community is
facebook.com/groups, and then it's /TBWPP.
You can email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Ask us questions, give us any info, feedback. We will answer as early as humanly wedding seasonally possible. And I do admit Christy has been answering most of those lately just because it's crazy up in here. Also, you can call us. We have a phone number and we love, love, love to hear your voice. You call, you leave a voicemail with your question or your love. And that number is 415-723-1625. And that is about it. Christy, love you, love your show. Happy planning, everybody.
Love you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.